This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President Donald Trump continues to defend his controversial policy of separating migrant parents and children at the U.S. border. Speaking to the National Federation of Independent Businesses in Washington today, Trump made a series of claims about immigration policy that are not supported by fact.
Under current law, we have only two policy options to respond to this massive crisis. We can either release all illegal immigrant families and minors who show up at the border from Central America, or we can arrest the adults for the federal crime of illegal entry. Those are the only two options: totally open borders or criminal prosecution for lawbreaking.
There are, in fact, other options available to the Trump administration, such as detaining families together for certain periods of time, as was done before April when his administration instituted a zero-tolerance policy on border-crossing offenses. Rhode Island Congressman David Cicilline recently visited a number of those detention facilities, those ICE detention and processing facilities in Texas, where children are being held, and he joins us now. Congressman Cicilline, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So you went to a number of facilities on the United States southern border. I wonder if you could actually just tell us specifically, to begin with, about the Port Isabel ICE detention facility. What did you see there?
So at the Port Isabel detention facility, we met with 10 moms who were in detention, who had their children taken from them. All of them were claiming asylum, so they were fleeing really incredible violence, gang violence, domestic abuse. You know, they came to the United States seeking asylum, and when they arrived in the U.S., they were taken into custody, and their children were separated from them.
Can I just jump in here for a second? I'm so
sure.
Sorry. Did they tell you how the children were separated from them, what the ICE or whomever, what the agents told them when they took the children away?
The women that we met with explained that the children were just taken away. Nobody explained to them where they were going, why they were being taken away. Many of the women today did not know where their children were. A couple of them had had phone contact with their children, but they didn't share any information with these moms. They just removed their children, and without any explanation.
DHS is saying, though, that it's giving a kind of handout or a flyer to parents that has phone numbers that they can call, so that the DHS is claiming that parents shouldn't have any trouble trying to find where their kids are.
Well, that's not the experiences we heard. In fact, we met with a woman who made several inquiries in the facility that she's being held about where her daughter is and got no information.
So I want to play a little bit of tape from a Facebook Live video that you posted after you left the Port Isabel ICE detention facility, because I think it sort of highlights the questions that so many people have around how the administration's or what the administration's actual policies are in terms of, the American people and their representatives trying to find out what's going on in these facilities. So you were trying to shoot a quick video in the parking lot outside of the detention facility. And here's what happened. There's a lot of wind noise in this. I just want to let listeners know, so that you might have to pay close attention, but I just want to play it anyway. Here goes.
Really heartbreaking stories and separated from their kids.
We're going live and recording devices here in the facility.
We're not recording. It's a Facebook Live.
It's still the same thing. And then electronic devices with the facility here, we don't allow it.
We can't broadcast what we just saw?
No, sir. Better.
We can't report to our constituents what we just saw in a federal detention facility.
So, Congressman Cicilline, that's an ICE agent coming up to you in the parking lot saying that you can't record even a Facebook live stream in the parking lot. And then you ask him why, pursuant to what regulation. And all he tells you was, it's an ICE thing?
Right. I mean, we had just left the facility, and I think, you know, part of the reason we're making these visits is not only to learn about what's happening, but to raise the awareness of the American people, what's being done in their name. So I tried after that visit to kind of report on what I had just seen, the mothers I had just met with. And, of course, I waited till we're outside the facility, because you're not allowed to take your phone into the facility, which I understood. So we're out in the parking lot with the facility in the background, and he said there's no recording on, you know, in the even in the parking lot. I don't know whether that's really a regulation or not, but the notion that we don't have the ability to share, you know, immediately after leaving the facility, our observations with our constituents who have raised serious concerns about it was very disappointing to me, and you know, we had to find other ways to get this information out.
So let me ask you about the children's shelter that you visited in Brownsville. What did you see there? Because you were able to go inside there as well.
Well, I mean, in that facility, it's called Casa Padre, which was, you know, the cruel irony is that we were there on Father's Day. But there are 1,500 kids in that facility. It was originally designed for 300 kids, so it's really overcrowded. There are four kids to a room. I think the agency that's doing the work does the best they can. They have been in this field for 30 years providing services to children in detention. But, you know, it's a detention facility. I mean, these young people are in custody, having done nothing wrong. And, you know, it's unclear kind of how long they'll stay there, and they make efforts to reunify these kids with family members or appropriate placements, but it's a very crowded, very difficult situation for the young people.
I mean, I take your point that this is an agency that's been doing this work for several decades, but did they tell you that they're able to meet the needs of 1,500 kids in a facility designed for 300?
No, I mean, they made it clear they need mental health professionals that they're, you know, that they need to hire. I think the figure they used was about 95 additional mental health professionals. But, you know, there's no way that you can provide, you know, in our country, the standard is supposed to be what's in the best interest of a child. And if they're in placement, it's supposed to be a last resort, and you're supposed to make it as much like home as possible. That can't be done successfully with this many children in that space.
Now, you also visited a Border Patrol processing center and a Border Patrol station in McAllen, Texas, and a port of entry in Hidalgo. The most important things you saw in those places?
Well, the most important things we saw and learned was that for the port of entry, that we talked to a human rights, civil rights lawyer who has been very involved in the situation there, and she recounted for us the fact that people were coming to the port of entry to seek asylum and sometimes were waiting days, sometimes as long as 2 weeks on the bridge, that they weren't being allowed into the waiting area, which is air conditioned. So this is over 100 degree heat, no bathrooms, no food, no water, just waiting to come in. And they can't return and leave the bridge because the criminal gangs are right in that area, that they will then subject themselves to violence or being kidnapped and their family being asked to pay ransom. So there are real problems, but they're left in the sort of in the middle there where they can't come into the facility and begin to be processed for asylum, and they yet can't go back because of the dangers. So it's a very, very unacceptable situation. And, you know, they had a very few number of people who were actually in claiming asylum because the conditions have been made so unpleasant that lots of people are trying to figure out other ways to come to the U.S. and claim asylum. When we went to the processing center, we saw people that were literally in these pens that are like cages. They refer to it as the dog pound. Because
who's the they? Who calls it the dog pound?
The residents there, the people who are being held.
I see. Okay.
Because it describes these big, you know, cages that people were in. And there was, you know, very young children that are in there awaiting processing. I mean, it is, you know, there's nothing in these big fenced-in areas. There's a few mats for some of them and these kind of plastic silver blankets. But, you know, they're overcrowded. Folks are sitting on the floor awaiting processing, and it's a terrible, terrible situation.
You know, 10 members of Congress, Democrats, are calling for Homeland Security Secretary Nielsen to resign. Do you think she should resign?
Absolutely. Look, Secretary Nielsen has independent responsibilities as the director of the Department of Homeland Security to make judgments about the resources her department has and how they should most effectively put to use, and to make a priority of prosecuting and detaining parents who are bringing children across the border fleeing unspeakable violence who are entitled under our law to asylum, to say that's a priority, to criminally prosecute those women in an effort to extinguish their ability to claim asylum, and while doing so to separate their children from them, is a gross error of judgment. It undermines the rule of law in this country, our founding values, and she ought not to have the privilege of leading the Department of Homeland Security in light of her decision to do that. And the notion that, well, this is the urging of the Attorney General, she doesn't work for the Attorney General, she works for the American people, she has independent responsibilities, and I think her implementation of this zero-tolerance policy makes her disqualifies her from continuing to lead that department.
Mm. I mean, to be frank, though, to the point you were just making, say, hypothetically, Secretary Nielsen were to resign, it would be rather symbolic and possibly have a big impact, but nevertheless, it doesn't change the posture or intent of Attorney General Sessions, of White House Advisor Stephen Miller, or the President of the United States at all. I mean, what difference would it make?
Well, I mean, hopefully she would be replaced by a secretary who would exercise independent judgment and not implement this policy. But look, the only way this is going to change is if people continue to speak out and demand that the administration stop this policy immediately. You know, President Lincoln said, you know, public sentiment is everything. This is a policy that was put into place by this administration. It can be stopped today with a phone call from the president to his relevant department heads. This is not a partisan issue. This is about what our values are as a country and the kind of moral leadership we provide to the world. And what is being done at the border to these children and ripping them from their parents is a national disgrace, and it needs to end.
Two more quick things, if I may. You're right in pointing out that this is a policy implemented by the Trump administration. But as you well know, the administration itself in the past several days has been pointing the finger back at Congress. I mean, here's Secretary Nielsen again at the White House yesterday saying she thinks Congress is the one that needs to solve this problem.
Until these loopholes are closed by Congress, it is not possible as a matter of law to detain and remove whole family units who arrive illegally in the United States. Congress and the courts created this problem, and Congress alone can fix it.
Now, to fact check this, it is a Trump administration policy that has led to the separation of parents and children at the border. But I just wanted to get your response to what Secretary Nielsen is saying.
It's completely misleading. It is, in fact, congressional action is not required to stop this. There is no requirement in the law that this happened, which is why it didn't happen until 6 weeks ago when the president developed this zero-tolerance policy. So there's nothing in the law that requires the separation of children from their parents, number one. So they could stop it instantaneously. She could stop it even without a call from the president. Could Congress explicitly prohibit it? Yes. And if our Republican colleagues will work with us, we will do that. But there is no requirement that this happen. And she has made this judgment to prosecute every single person who comes across the border, no matter how they get here, even if they're making legitimate claims of asylum, to criminally prosecute them and separate their children from them in an effort to basically extinguish your right to petition for asylum. I mean, if you come across the border, whether you come at a point of entry or you come another way, and you go to a Border Patrol officer and you say, I want to claim asylum, if the policy of the United States is we're going to criminally charge you for coming across the border to make that claim, you have effectively ended asylum. It's monstrous. And she could stop it today. The president could stop it today. We are going to push hard for legislation to compel them to do that. But we obviously have to get some support from our Republican colleagues to do it.
You know, the president of the United States has called Democrats the obstructionists here, saying that Democrats are not willing to even, these are his words, Donald Trump's words, to come to the table to negotiate on Republican suggested immigration bills. And that if they did, this problem would be solved. I mean, we have some pending bills here. What's your thought?
This is the most pernicious and despicable thing the president said. He's trying to use the ripping away of children from their mothers as a bargaining chip to try to negotiate an immigration bill. We have worked in good faith. There have been a number of bipartisan bills that would fix our broken immigration system. The president is trying to move forward in some come in a really sinister way at the expense of these children and try to negotiate the building of his wall. It's despicable. It's wrong. Democrats have always been willing to work in a bipartisan way on immigration. We almost had a bill forced to the floor over the objection of the speaker last week. We were short two votes. It had the support of every single Democrat and about 22 Republicans. So we have solutions to this, but the president instead is pandering to his base with this really, really despicable policy that the American people, I think, the more they learn about it, are not going to permit it to continue.
Well, Rhode Island Congressman David Cicilline, thank you so very much.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Back in 1 minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.